Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
My name good. And yourself?
I realize you need a caller, so I decided we're calling.
Okay, this is Wendell.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. Good to hear you. Yeah, man, I recognize your voice. We were friends at one point, you know, so.
Are we still friends?
Okay, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to be presumptuous.
My friends are my friends. Anyway, Peter, I'm calling because I don't have much time, but I want to deal with this thing about Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
But I've spoken on it before, but I want to make the point that
Wendell, let me tell you at the outset, you are on the eve of the latest news, but I will let you finish after we come back if you so desire. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make the point, and I want to support somebody who spoke in Parliament about some of these things.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you can start now.
I heard some interesting comments in Parliament, and actually some of the younger parliamentarians gave some very good presentations. I think the issue of Black Lives Matter surrounds more of the issue of justice. Justice at all levels. And I think that is an ongoing process, because there are a lot of people, they're not black, they may be white even, and they may not be getting justice. And I think in this age, 21st century, we need to look at justice for all. And I think it goes beyond the symbolism, such as the Nelson statue. And I want to make a point that if we're going to be a society where we want to portray our best, I would figure that we need to have the symbols in the right place. I want to make a point. You know, Gary Sobers, his monument was moved from Sargent Village roundabout, and it was taken down to Kensington when the World Cup came here. I didn't like the idea. I figured it was in a more prominent place there at Sargent Village. But when you look at it, perhaps he needs to be at the home of cricket. And if we're going to have international cricket, it might have been a good idea to put him there. I don't know what inspired it, but I think just as that was done, I believe we need to have some of our prominent people who have contributed to Barbados placed at key points. For example, where Nelson is, I believe we need to really have one of our national heroes there, somebody who's contributed to Barbados in the post-independence period, or who assisted Barbados on the way to our independence after we came out of the colonial age. I also want to make the point that we cannot abandon everything that represents the colonial period. I think that would be highly iconoclastic. And we need to be able to look back at some of the things that we have. So therefore, I'm not really supporting the idea of necessarily tearing down every sign that says Queen Mary Road or whatever might remind us of the British system, because we were a British colony. And we have to face that. And we can't tear down all of those things. But the key things, for example, in Nelson, I don't think it's really an issue, because we need to have somebody there who represents the Barbadian cause. Somebody who is a Barbadian hero placed in a prominent place like that. And you could determine to put, since it is part of our history, it could be placed in the museum. As many, there are many symbols in the museum representing our history. But I think it needs to go beyond our just every minute just talking but not doing anything.
All right. So let's get straight back to the telephone lines. We had Wendell Callender on the line. He was telling us a bit about his perspective on this Black Lives Matter movement and our interpretation in Barbados. Are you still there, Wendell?
I'm still here, yeah.
Right. Okay. You can continue, please.
Yeah. While I was here waiting, I had the opportunity to read... I'm calling his name because he said it in Parliament, to read the Minister of Tourism's comment, the comment he made in Parliament when there was a discussion of black lives. He said, you can pull down 1,000 statues. It will fill nobody's belly. I am interested in filling people's bellies. Actually, I also saw a comment in response to that callous statement. The person said, "The most unfortunate and unbecoming rampage in the fallacy of the false dilemma, a most callous compartmentalization of the human being, a most tragic and disunion belief that the different aspects to which he makes mention, psychological and material health and well-being, are disconnected and mutually exclusive." Well, for those who have studied things like Maslow's hierarchy of needs and for how we have lived our lives, we would know that the basic needs are important: food, shelter, and clothing. But there are also other needs to be addressed, like belonging and things like recognition and self-actualization and those kind of things. And I think this is what the person on Facebook was saying here. You cannot be so overly, we need food to eat. We need to have food in our bellies, as he so crudely states. But what about all those other things, the psychological things? Those matter? And I believe Barbados is at a stage where we need to focus on those psychological issues. And I want to make a point, too, about the creative industries. Because we tend to think about manufacturing and construction. And for years now, we have had youngsters who are pursuing a lot of disciplines in the creative areas. And especially now we have COVID, using the modern information communications technology, people can do a lot of work online and make the world their market. They can get involved in writing books, they're writing songs, they can create patents. And we've been talking about creative industries, I recall, for all the way back in the early 2000s. And I'm saying nothing being done. This is what we should be hearing about. Just as Arabara was able to get involved with the industrialization, the invitation and all that, Tom Adams was able to deal with the offshore businesses and so on. Somebody needs to take up the mantle for the creative industries and make sure that our music, that's what we have to be able to do it. Somebody needs to get behind it and to push it, to stoke it. And instead of the Minister of Culture making those airy-fairy comments, he should be telling us what he is doing to allow these youngsters to actualize themselves without having to go into somebody's office.
Yeah.
Once you have a computer, you can do a lot of things at home.
Okay.
And really, I shudder to think the direction we're going if we're hearing these negative and backward comments. And
All right.
Don't want to be negative, but I want them to address the creative industries.
Fair enough. Wendell, you spoke for a while, so let me just give you a quick response, and then I will let you go. And to tell you that I feel you regarding concerns in both regards, both ministers, Simmons, and also Minister of Culture, Minister King. I spoke about Minister King already, and I think we had an exchange, and I believe he responded to one of the reporters regarding, you know, his feelings on my own concerns. As far as Minister Simmons are concerned, Wendell, persons like you and I have the benefit, and one could argue the luxury, of being able to be concerned about what are seen as superficial issues. Now, when I had the conversation back in the 90s about the Republic, and at the time I had just joined the staff at the University of the West Indies, like you, I have been to university and tertiary education, and I believe that we do have a luxury to consider these types of issues. I remember when I was so focused in my mind on the fact that Barbadians would just support the idea of becoming a republic because it just seemed so normal and straightforward. I encountered one of the secretaries at the university who had herself not been to university. And she basically put a position to me that said, "Peter, I understand that these things are important for you because you feel less of a person because we are subjected to the Queen or whatever in the terms of the Constitution. But let me just say for me own personally, I don't really understand what's the big deal. And I do feel that I have a legitimate right not to understand what's the big deal because my issues are of a bread and butter nature." So I'm just saying, Wendell, while I agree with you regarding what Kerry said, I think that we also have to appreciate that there is a legitimacy for a person to say, I am not interested in the esoteric, I am interested in the fundamental. And if this cannot make my life better in a fundamental way, then I'm not interested in the issue for the time being. It is not a priority for me. I suspect that what Simmons is doing is he is trying to reflect that secretary's opinion that says, for me, the esoteric is nice, but it's the bread and butter that is my priority.
So, yeah, the bread and butter is important.
And all I would say is that, well, I don't necessarily believe the two can go hand in hand.
You can do hand in
hand. Right. While I don't necessarily disagree with that, I also feel that we have to be very careful. And when I say we, I mean those of us among the intellectual community that has the luxury of reflecting on these things, that we do not alienate the bread and butter person that is also entitled to a legitimate basis on what is being said.
No,
so that's my view. But we're going to have to render that.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling. And as I said, we don't disagree, but I'm just saying that, you know, when you sit in this chair, you come face to face with a day-to-day reality that I think we have to remember is always legitimate. I received a picture of this award that is given to people in Barbados. I'm flabbergasted, quite frankly. I'm flabbergasted by the fact that what I can see is this white woman standing on the head of a black man with what looks to be some kind of a sword or a knife and a cane. I don't know if it's a sword or a sickle. Anyhow, it's a white person. It's not necessarily a woman, but it's a white person and it's a black person that is being stood on. I'm told that the order is supposed to represent St. Michael, the archangel, and he's standing over Satan. So it is a triumph of good over evil. I'm even more appalled because, frankly, I would never have thought that we are still at a stage where we define evil in terms of blackness, as Satan in terms of representing evil. Even if you believe that that's a matter for you, but the idea of portraying it in this way and the idea that the archangel has to be this white person standing above the black man is disturbing. And this brings back the point that I was making earlier that the Black Lives Matter conversation can carry us in so many different directions, and it is now revealing something to me which I had no knowledge of up until last night when it was raised in conversation. And now today I'm actually seeing this thing, and when I see it, I'm even more disturbed than anyone else. And I don't imagine how it is that for the years people have received those awards and they never look at that and think, but this thing is offensive. That's something that we got to talk about as a people. There's no question that that now has to go on the agenda for discussion, because there's no way that a country that is predominantly black should be walking about giving people something like that as an honor. Suppose you give it to somebody like me that don't even believe in God. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
A blessed day to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Yes, how are you doing?
Thank you. I am blessed tremendously so, and I wish the best for Barbados and for the station and the staff, and particularly for Mr. Johnson, who is I do enjoy my dialogues with him from time to time, and I like to talk to him, you know.
You'll have many more dialogues in the future, not to worry.
I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah.
When I finish with these two points that I want to make, observation, I'd like to leave a passage of scripture with you that next time we do talk, we will be able to talk about, look at it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say here, let me ask you, when Ms. Motley made the comment about the matter in Guyana, that's the election that is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The court had already delivered its verdict, or it was still, you know.
You got to ask which verdict, because the court has delivered about three verdicts on that issue now. That matter went to court three times, huh?
And this last one, the last one where, I remember when you were on the radio Monday.
Right, that was the third court matter. This is now the fourth.
Okay,
but because they had court matters relating to the statement to the vote of no confidence. There was an appeal in that regard, and then we had court matters regarding the statement of polls initially, and then we had another court matter regarding the declaration. So now we're on to court matter number four.
So, okay, so this court, this number four one, the court is still deliberating on that?
Well, I mean, this is the final court of appeal. So my understanding is that this CCJ matter will bring a close to that aspect of the issue of validity. The problem, however, is that there's really no reason why the appeal court in Guyana cannot speak to another aspect of the issue again.
The reason why I'm asking you that is this, that I'm sure you're familiar in Barbados, when there's a matter before the court, the radio station does not...
Sir, don't conflate issues. Listen, we if you thief from money from somebody, we cannot discuss that in terms of issues that are material to a judge and jury. That will be hearing a case. And that's what they talk about, this sub judice issue, right? I cannot be critical of, I can be critical of a judge's position, but I cannot suggest that judge's position is derived by anything that is untoward. That's my understanding of this, right? So this idea that you feel that we shouldn't be discussing the matter because before the court, you can forget about that. We can discuss it. It's a constitutional matter. It's an electoral matter. It is a fundamental consequence, not only to the people of Guyana, but to the broader CARICOM community, and we will talk about it.
But my point is that, and you, I'm sure you know that, if something is for court and we call it...
Right, okay. We got that. So let's move on. What's your concern with the issue? We will discuss it. Don't think. We will discuss it. There's no issue where that's concerned.
Right. Because my view is that as long as the court is still presiding...
I understand that's your view, and I disagree with your view, and I'm saying to you that as long as I am on the program, as long as I have responsibility to discuss these matters regionally, I will discuss it both here and elsewhere within the region, as have been happening.
So we have no respect for the court then?
Sir, maybe if I don't, then nobody else in the region does, because it has been bandied about every single country of the Caribbean. This week alone, I've done about 3 or 4 engagements regarding the situation in Guyana and what is likely to happen, because it is an electoral matter.
No, I'm not saying...
You have something else you wanted to discuss, sir?
Mr. Vikram, please let me continue.
I will let you talk, but I don't want you to waste time telling me about something being sub judice when it clearly is not subject to that.
I waste time because I'm not talking what you want to hear.
But sir, all right, no problem. What is it you wanted to say? Go ahead.
All I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make is that I believe that if we...
Sir, how many times are you going to say that? You've said it, and I accept that that's your view. I disagree with you, and we're discussing it. Is there something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I want to say something yet because, I would like to say to you, Mr. Vikram, that I believe that when persons are speaking and they're hearing their concerns, that you ought to be able to respect them. Just they respect you to let them say what they have to say. Mm-hmm. That's what it be that you should do, you know?
Okay.
Now, let me go on to say the other thing. Now, yesterday I listened to the Senate and Mr. Caswell Franklin. They were discussing, different bills. But one of them were about, that came before the Senate, the government had increased bus fare from since April last year. And they were now bringing a bill to the Senate to ratify that. And Mr. Franklin went to the law. He read the law because then he always, referred to the law. Where he said that government were collecting $1.50 more than they should have because it was not law. And he was saying that was wrong and the government should not be doing things like this because then they have a majority. These things ought not to be. And what I realized when he was finished, when Mr. Greenidge got up to speak, he never made any mention of that particular part of the bill at all. I don't know why he didn't do it, because I think it was very pertinent, and that is something that we should be aware of, that if the government is going to do something, then they ought to do it the right way and do it properly, you know, because if you're going to increase something, it ought to be a law and not just go ahead and do it. And I thought that that was very interesting to observe something like that, you know.
Okay.
The next thing I want to say is I did say to you that I want to leave a passage of scripture with you, and it is from Leviticus 20, verse 13. And 13:13, and when I have to dialogue with you next time, I want to maybe discuss that with you.
You're not going to read the passage for the benefit of all those who
but what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to read it. I'll just leave it.
Hey, no, but what does the passage say?
There
are many people who are listening that are not familiar with the Bible. So what does the passage say?
They can also look at it.
I know, but what does it say? Just tell us quickly.
Well, it would say something that I would like to discuss with you.
Sir, what does it say? Just tell us what it says. You are the one that's saying that you want to express your views. Express them.
I just said, Mr.
Sir, express your views and tell us what the passage says in simple language.
You did not hear me, you know. If you had heard me, you would not continue to say that. Because I told you that I would like to be able to express what I want.
But right, what you want to say is you want to talk about the passage. So just tell us what the passage says.
Not this time. Next time.
All right, no problem. Thanks a lot for calling, sir. It was good chatting with you. This is Dr. Brastocks. Gentleman says to me, Peter, even though you're a married man, hearing you refer to your colleague who read the news as a beautiful woman made me flinch. This is 2020. Words such as beautiful woman have no place in the workplace. He is half jokingly but half serious, and certainly let me take the opportunity to apologize. Certainly often, because my status is known, I assume that I can get away with things which we really should not say in the context of the average workplace. So any reference to one of my colleagues as being beautiful or ugly, in this case, beautiful, is highly inappropriate in a context like this, because it is not about beauty. It's certainly about the way that she reads the news. So my apologies to her. Certainly as a person who considers himself a feminist and tries to be on the front line of this idea of being correct in the workplace, politically correct, I would have fallen short of the glory. So my apologies to her and anyone else who I may have offended. And I appreciate that the gentleman who said it to me was half joking, half serious, but it is a point that is valid that needs to be reflected on. Good day. What's funny about the giving of knighthoods in Barbados? Most probably has most persons obtaining a knighthood in the Caribbean, Little England. We need to hear from Dr. Greenidge. Do you have to sign anything if you do not want any bonds? Some persons are unsure about this. Mr. Franklin is the only person who came out and said this. And then another caller is telling me, Peter, you need to move on from the previous caller. That has been done.